Welcome to Pantano Christian Church. This is the weekend of September 9th and 10th, 2006. Join us now as Pastor Dave White presents our Fall Connect Weekend. Listen how life groups and ministries are making a difference in our local community and around the world. And now, here's Pastor Dave.
Hey, thank you guys so much. Don't you appreciate our musicians and our sound guys? I found my spot. I was right over there in the corner and I could feel the wind from the bass go over my head like this. And it was just, couldn't you guys feel it over there? It was great. And for Mark to be leading with the bass, ooh, punch it, buddy. That's great. Hey, well, good morning. If you don't know, I'm Dave White. I wear conservative shirts. So what can I say? You know, this is our Fall Connect. Fall is, we sort of do life at Pantano in trimesters. Fall, we don't have a winter trimester in Tucson, so we have fall, spring, and summer. And so we kick these off every fall, spring, and summer, and we try to put these little slots like Christmas in there where we just take a breather. But in those trimesters, we kick off our life groups, which is our Connect Sunday today. And boy, it's just a great time, and we work hard and we serve hard during these times. Make a Difference Day is on our calendar for October 21st. Now, the reason why October 21st is there is because Rocky Point happens just a few weeks later, and we're just trying to put a little space between it. So the official day is October 28th. We're doing it a week early. So there are a couple of people that are doing it on the official day, but for by and large, it's the 21st. We have some of our community partners here that we're going to be working with on Make a Difference Day. And I'm just going to ask you guys to make your way up on the stage, if you would, while I walk through the rest of this. The Rocky Point Mission Trip, as I mentioned, when we go down each one of these events, we'll mobilize 500-plus people to work in our community, our own community, on Make a Difference Day and build houses in Rocky Point. And then we will take a good rest during Christmas, which we just set aside as time for our family and as a Pantano family and our own families. And we try not to do a lot of church activities during that time. Well, hey, wow, look at this. What a great group. Ted, I'm going to turn. Ted is, for those that you don't know, this is Ted Cates. Ted is our director of local outreach. And he has been just out building relationships, building bridges in our community where we have opportunity to serve, especially on Make a Difference Day and several other times during the year. Our life groups will partner with these folks to do other things. So, Ted, I'm going to ask if you would just introduce everybody, and then we're going to just pray for them.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce the folks that are making a difference 24/7, one child at a time, one family at a time, one issue at a time. And these are the people we will be working shoulder to shoulder with on October 21st on Make a Difference Day. First, we have Dorinda Rise from Arizona School for Deaf and Blind.
Right on.
We have Chandra Thomas from Van Buskirk in the Fairgrounds area.
Yes.
Next, in the 29th Street corridor, we have Barbara Gonzalez. She's the principal of Myers Ganog. Mm-hmm. We have Terry Lovelace, also from the same school as Family Liaison. Have Dr. Robert Pitts, principal, Robinson Elementary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have Joyce Dillon, Corbett, elementary principal. Mm-hmm. And with us also are the folks who work the issues in a neighborhood that we're going really to partner with in the coming months. We have Donna Higgin Botham Perkins, the chairperson of the Roberts Neighborhood Association.
Yes.
Yeah. And especially happy to have Pat Richter with us in the 29th Street Coalition. So just how about a big PCC round of applause for our people who are out there doing it every day.
Okay. Right on. All these folks are going to be outside at a table during this between services at our Connect. So I just want to encourage all of you to give them a great Pantana welcome. And also, if any of your life groups want to talk about projects that can be done in those areas, they'll be there to talk about that too. Would you all join me in just praying for them, for the investment that they're putting in our community and our kids? Father God, I am just always grateful for those who dedicate their lives and their hearts, their energy, to serving others and seeing others lifted up and our community made better. Lord, I ask that you would bless each and every one of them in their efforts. And I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen and enhance our partnerships, that it could be a win-win even better for all of us. And we thank you. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming. Oh, isn't that great? Well, hey, this is our Connect 2006. And our topic today, we're going to talk about community. 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 Is community more than a neighborhood? What is community? We're going to go on a little journey through this idea of what community is all about. Because if you notice, right in our pathway handbook, there's a little map, and it lists four of our core values. The second one is community. A core value of community. Now, you probably can't read what that says in that little yellow box, but this is what it says. It says, community means to us that we connect with God and others in small groups where we can know and be known by them, where we can serve and be served. Life groups are the core element of community at PCC. It's about life and it's about mission. It's about being known and serving. And that's why we have a Connect three times a year where our life groups have an opportunity to basically have a fair, and all of us have the opportunity to connect. But it is truly about community because it is the core element of what we do. I went through the dictionary and boy, I read, I don't know, dozens actually of dictionary definitions of community. And these are the best of the best definitions. A group of interdependent people that relate to and interact with each other. Think of that. A group of interdependent people that relate to and interact with each other. That's more than a neighborhood. Neighborhoods, we hope, will develop community. A group sharing common characteristics or interests that identify it as distinct within a larger group. So, for example, the 29th Street Corridor is a distinct community in the greater Tucson. Pantano Christian Church is a distinct community in the larger city. And in our community at Pantano, we have life groups that distinguish themselves by quilting or Bible study or prayer or motorcycle riding or bunco or serving or any number of things that make them distinct. Those are communities. Now, in a community, what people do is commune. That sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Those words are very related. They come from the same root. And that verb means this: to converse or talk. To converse or talk with profound intensity and intimacy. To interchange thoughts and feelings. And even further, a relationship of mutual trust and emotional affinity. You see this, in order to have community, people have to connect at a level deeper than the surface. They have to connect at a level of the soul, of the heart. And it's only at that point of connection and relationship and being known and being served and serving that community happens. A commune is the noun part of this, and I just put this in there so that we could just, Glenn told us that he was accused in college of being a communist, so I thought it would be good to throw this in. And when we read this, you'll actually find out that Pantano Christian Church and our life groups are actually a commune.
Ooh.
A commune is a close-knit community of people who share common interests, values, and purpose. Sort of defines us, doesn't it? So when people rally around common interests, values, and purpose, and they connect with each other at a greater depth than the surface, a level of the heart, that's what this is all about. Now, think about this. I want to ask a question. Does the Bible describe community, this dynamic that we call community? Does it describe that? Oh, as a matter of fact, it does. And what I want to walk through are about 25 scripture verses that use the word one another, or in other translations, each other. And I chose the each other verses. And I just want to walk through them and allow us to see the operative words that we do with each other that is the dynamic of community. Now, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to engage you with me, and as we read through these scripture verses, there's a little portion that is bold and underlined. And so I would ask you if you would read that out loud with me when we get to that part. Okay? Like this. In John 13:14, in the midst of an argument amongst his disciples about who was going to be the greatest, Jesus clothed himself in servant's clothes and washed their feet. And afterwards, he said this, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash each other's feet." You see that as we, just as a person wearing sandals walking on dusty roads gets their feet dirty, we, as we walk through life, we get hurt, we hurt others. We get sick. We are encountered by all kinds of things that, in that metaphorical sense, get our feet dirty. And we are able to wash one another's feet and cleanse each other in this process. That's what community is about. And then Jesus goes a step further in that same chapter, and he describes it this way. "A new command I give you, love each other. As I have loved you, so you must love each other." Now get this. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love each other. That's how people know who we are, is by the love that we display for other people. Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers, are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve each other in love." And Galatians 6:2, "Bear each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." What law is that? Simply this, Jesus gave us two commands, and those were the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you see, it's simply by doing these each other verses, these operatives of community, that we fulfill those laws of Christ. Romans 15:7, "Accept each other, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." Ephesians 4:2, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with each other in love." And 1 Peter 4:9, "Offer hospitality to each other without grumbling." Why do you think he put that on the end without grumbling? You know, one of the ways that I detect for myself if I am, you know, close to burnout is when I choose to serve if I grumble inside. That's when I know I'm on the edge and I better back off. So, wow, offer hospitality to each other without grumbling. 1 Peter 3:8, all of you live in harmony with each other. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage each other and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, I want to just submit this idea to you. You know, we sang this song this morning, the earth is filled with His glory. How do you fill the earth with the glory of God? By sending out religious people that babble a bunch of religious rhetoric? No. You fill the earth with people that do this stuff. That's what brings glory to God. That's what Jesus said will tell the world that you are my disciples. Not by what we say, but by what we do. Now, I've got several folks here from some of our life groups. And I would like, if you guys would just come on up right now. Notice that we are going to follow off of that idea that this is in fact what we are doing. And so I wanted you to hear a couple of the stories from some of our life groups. And Patty Piper is here. You didn't wear your tiara. Oh, there they are. Oh, good. These guys have a lot of fun. But what do you think? Oh, I want the one with. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's. You know, I think I'll pass. I think I'll pass on that. But these guys are so cool. All, and they're just representative of all of our life groups. And so, Patty, oh, would you just share with us about your Bunko Babes and Bunko Hunkos?
I'll try. I'm really nervous. Last night I was so nervous I forgot to say what Bunko was.
It's a game.
It's a game. And I have had great fun in forming these Bunko groups. Behind me are representatives of some of the 6 groups that I kind of oversee. We have 4 women's groups. We have a new couples group that just started last month and also a mom and daughters group. So when I started the groups, I had 4 objectives, and one was my passion for playing games and having fun. My second objective was to have a place to be silly and laugh and have fun without a heavy time commitment attachment. This would allow for those who rarely carve out a slice of time for themselves to have fun, for the sole purpose of having fun, to just do that.
You're doing good.
Last night I interrupted. You tried to help me, and I told him it was my turn to be quiet, but you can help me.
No, you go right ahead, Patty. You're doing well. To provide out... No.
Does anyone else get nervous when they talk in front of people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Phew! Good. Okay. Okay. To provide community and meet others and possibly develop friendships. To provide outreach to friends who might not have a church or an active faith journey. And like I said before, my objective was plain Bunko. These objectives are taking place at different levels in all the different groups, and we want to share 2 of those stories with you this morning. The first, Jan Tate, she plays in the first group that was formed, and she's incredibly cool.
Thank you, Patty. In December 2004, Patty called and told me she was forming a life group. Thank you. To play Bunko once a month and encouraged me to be part of it. At the time, I was married, lived in Rancho Saurita, worked out of my home, and felt very isolated. I only saw my family and friends from church once a week. Our new group met for the first time in January 2005. I had come to know and love Patty from our involvement in Rocky Point. I recognized some faces from church and some I could associate with names, but most of the group was new to me. 2 months later in March, my husband abandoned me and my world was turned upside down. I felt more isolated than ever. I had no idea where my husband was or if I would ever hear from him again. I sobbed for weeks. I told very few people, but my precious friend Patty was one of them. At the April Bunko Babe meeting, Patty asked my permission to share with the group my circumstance. I gave her permission, but only after I had left for my long drive home. The next day, Patty called and told me the babes had prayed for me, and some had even cried over hearing my news. For me, amidst this personal disaster, is when my life group became my family. They called to check on me and tell me they loved me. They took me to lunch. They hugged me, cried with me, prayed with me, visited me, offered their husbands to help me ready my house for sale, helped me pack and move back to Tucson. They loved me when I felt most unloved. During the same time, I began going to the prayer rooms on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month. Most of the time, I was unable to speak and could only cry. Over the next few months, I gained a depth of faith I have never experienced. I learned to pray differently and listen for the Lord to speak to me. I learned what community means, and I heard for the first time in my life that Jesus is the lover of my soul. I cannot express with words what my life group means to me or how dearly I love every one of them. I now have a group of women who know me and whom I know intimately. They are no longer faces I just associate with names. They are my family. They are my earthly rock. I know they would do anything for me, and I would do anything for them. Our life group of Bunko Babes has changed a lot. Some of the original faces have changed, but the group envelops each new member with the same intensity of love and acceptance. We work together doing service projects such as Serve Tucson. We laugh and act incredibly silly. Sundays are not only a day of worship for me anymore. It is when my life group seeks each other out to share hugs and briefly share their week. We often hear at Pantano that as a church becomes larger, it has to become smaller. My small church now consists of 12 women who continually show me what community really means. Thank you.
On the overhead is another Bunko Babe. Her name is Marina Whitaker. She was not able to be with us this weekend, but she has given permission for her story to be told. Marina has gone through some incredibly tough stuff in the last few years, and that has included the suicide of her 31-year-old son. I'm so sorry.
You're doing fine, Patty. Isn't she doing good? Yeah.
These are her very transparent words about her spiritual awakening. I couldn't trust God because I felt I didn't matter to him and I wasn't important to him. So I decided he wasn't important to me. I didn't see him caring about me, so I decided why should I care about him? In the past, I've been blessed with many friendships, but didn't truly trust a person enough to develop a deep connection with them. I was very mean and quick to drop a friend because of a real or a perceived wrong. There was something very different about this Bunko Babe group and their friendships. I knew they knew God, and I wanted that for myself. What I have found with these women goes beyond the warmth, the friendship, the physical aspects of being together. Meeting them, being with them, listening to them talk about God, seeing their faith in Him and their trust of Him, my spirit never has felt so free and comfortable. This happened from the very beginning. I am on a journey, discovering something to keep me from my rage, my despair, and my blaming God. God used these women to love me back to Him. And the times I now come to church at Pantano, I leave with a heart full of love, confidence, and hope.
Oh. Yes. Thank you all. Thank you. I want you to hear from the Serve and Be Served group. They meet at KGZ Side Restaurant every Wednesday morning. Find anywhere from 25 to 35 guys there some mornings. And Bill is one of the members of that group. And I want, Bill, if you would just take a few minutes and tell your story.
Thanks, Dave. Over the past couple of years, I've helped the brothers in my life group with all sorts of stuff, but I never really asked anything of them until May of this year. In May, my wife and I loaded up the motorhome and headed out for a six-month trip to get out of the heat. We left for the coast on Monday, May 1st, around 5 in the evening, and arrived in Oceanside, California, at the RV park around 2 in the afternoon of May 2nd. My wife, Karen, wanted to walk with the dogs on the beach immediately. Many of you know the rest of the story. When we returned from the beach, she laid down for a nap, and God decided to take her home as she slept. She had died within a couple hours of the beach walk. Devastated doesn't even begin to describe how I felt. I had police officers and paramedics trying to help me, but I knew I needed more, and that's when I called my friend, Roger Blumenthal. I didn't call Roger because he's a pastor here at Pantano. I called him because he's in my life group, and he's my friend. All I could say on the phone was that I needed help. I gave the phone to a cop, and he told Roger all the details. Within an hour, some guy named Frank showed up. Complete stranger, but he said he was a friend of Roger's from a church they had attended years ago. Roger had asked him to stop by. Frank and I sat up talking and praying until 2 in the morning. I remember being scared to ask him if he would stay the night with me. Without hesitation, he said he had already made plans to spend the night. He slept on the sofa, got up about 6 a.m. and made coffee. We talked and we prayed for another few hours. And by 9:30 that morning, Kent Johnson and Dan Porter from my life group were there. They had dropped everything they were doing and taken the first available flight, leaving Tucson. By 4:30 that afternoon, Merle Favinger was there. He had been in the White Mountains with his wife, and they drove all the way to Phoenix so they could get a flight out. Over the next several days, I realized that Roger didn't send these men, God did. Without hesitation, Kent dealt with all the paperwork to get Karen back to Tucson. Merle held my heart in his hands, and he always knew how to comfort me. Dan did logistics. He walked the dogs, made coffee, took us out to eat. He even drove the motor home back to Tucson. I can never, ever repay these guys for what they did. I can't even explain the emotion that I felt when they arrived. My soulmate and my life partner had died. I was in a strange town that I had never been to before and had no idea where to turn other than to my God and my life group. Thank you.
As Bill said, I was in the White Mountains and I got the call to go. And there was no hesitation. I looked at my wife, Kathy, and I said, I need to get a flight out. We immediately made arrangements and went to Phoenix and flew out. On the flight over, I thought of Bill, and I thought of what he was going through, the devastation that he was feeling. And I thought, gee, what would I do if I was there, if I was in that place? And what I prayed for is, God, give me strength, give me the wisdom to do what I need to do. what God gave me the wisdom to do was to stand by him. And as he said, hold his heart in my hand, hold his heart in my hands. Listen to him. Have a listening ear. And God gave me strength to get through that. Usually I'm not one to be able to hold up to those things, but God gave me those strength. The life group that we're in, over and over again, I've seen this. Not just with Bill, but other things that happen in our life group, that the men come forward and stand up for each other. They came for me when I was in the hospital. They were around me and prayed before I went in for surgery. They were there when I come out. They were there so much that the nurses said, no more. Mm-hmm. But that's what a life group is about. The relationship that I now have with these men has changed. I knew them, but I now know them on another level. These men will be my friends for life. And just, if you're not in a life group, please consider it, because it's not just about serving the community, it's about serving each other. Thank you.
Amen, buddy.
Hi, for those who don't know me,